I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you today, Aaliyah?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Anything exciting going on down in sunny Florida?
Just writing music and making magic at Animal Kingdom.
Awesome. You've got a new song coming out soon. I heard a rumor. That's exciting.
Indeed. I'm awesome. Very close to being done.
All right. Well, let me know when you're done because I want to hear it.
Will do.
Awesome. Also, we have today Burke and Rivka. How are you today, Burke?
I'm doing great. Spent the morning cleaning the church with my kids and Rivka, and then went and grabbed breakfast with them, which was awesome. And spent the rest of the day packing up an old job's worth of supplies and getting everything inventoried to leave because I worked my last day of work with the old company yesterday. So onward and upward.
Exciting. Transitions can be scary and exciting, but I'm excited for you. That's great.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, Rivka, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good. Yep. Do you want to give us a weather report today, maybe?
It is overcast and everything is wet.
Status quo.
Status quo.
Typical.
But there are the beginnings of buds on stuff. So that's exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. We love that. So, well, I mentioned in the intro that we talk about the latest talks of General Conference. We actually finished the talks from this General Conference, or at least seemingly we finished. Long time ago, we recorded the talk, Do You Want to Be Happy? And it got lost in the internet, ghost in the machine. And so we never put it out or released it. And we knew that if we didn't go back to that exact point in time and re-record, then our timeline would split and it would cause all sorts of multiversal problems. So we're going back to the talk, Do You Want to Be Happy? By Elder Yun Hwan Choi of the 70. And this was instantly one of our favorite talks when we heard General Conference the first time because it was so straightforward. He said, isn't it simple to be happy? Just make covenants and keep them in your lives. So with that introduction, we're going to get to our fundamental doctrines and we will start with Aaliyah.
Well, you just read exactly what I highlighted for my fundamental doctrine. So
I know. I was like, whoever he calls first is going to get the fundamental doctrine. And the rest of us will be like,
and the rest of us, that's it.
Well, tell me what you liked about it or why it was your fundamental doctrine.
Well, I just love clarity and directness. Mm-hmm. And this is all of those things. You want to be happy? Make and keep covenants. Boom, mic drop, walk away. That's it. That's you found it. That's the solution to life.
Can you imagine what it would have been like if that was his whole talk? Just like smiles, shrugs, and walks away, you know?
Oh, that would have been the most iconic Legendary. General Conference talk of all time.
But wait, he also said, do you want to be happy? Stay on the covenant path. So he went that direction also.
That's true. That is.
There you go.
And we will get into that because he asks, what is the covenant path? Are you on it? So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Aaliyah, let's go back to this. So you like simpleness and directness. How has this concept impacted your life? Have you felt more happiness by staying on the covenant path?
Yes. Covenants provide perspective, which helps times where you might not be like fully happy to be, you know, at least more happy than they would be because of the perspective. Covenants also provide like a roadmap of progression, which leads me to also being happy. And then obviously, we're going to talk about this later, but covenants, the part of the reason for them is so that we can have access to heavenly power, which helps us to achieve that progression and that happiness.
Okay. Awesome. I love it. For a moment, I legit thought you were just going to say yes and then stop your answer.
Like, you did ask the yes or no question. So.
I did. So that means I did a bad job at asking the question, but we just got done saying how iconic it would have been if he just like dropped the mic. So, but thank you for not doing that, because that was the point behind my question, was to hear your story. So,
indeed.
All right. Well, let's move on to Burke today. So, Burke, tell me what your fundamental doctrine was.
Well, so clearly I already marked that one and we talked about it, but I like this other one too. And this is right at the start of the Are You on the Covenant Path section. He says, sometimes when we make covenants, we fail to keep them. I love that he puts sometimes in there. I feel like I'm more like a most of the time, you know? But...
Every time?
Yeah. If you have made a covenant, you have probably failed to keep it at some point, you know. So it's not quite as hopeful as his original central doctrine, but I think that one's definitely important as well.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it's fundamental to his talk, right? Like, you have to understand that you can't always keep your covenants, and so that's the point of repenting over and over. So I like it. That's great. Rivka, let's go on to you. What was your fundamental doctrine that hasn't already been discussed?
Or if it has, what is your
or give us your take. Yes, thank you. Oh, no. Oh, no. Did we lose Rivka? Well, Rivka's going to try and get back in, and we're going to go on and see if she can make it. So, Aaliyah, are you still here?
Yes.
Okay, then let's go sequentially here. So, number one, he starts off on what is the covenant path. So he wants us to define what the covenant path is, so he can explain to us if we know we're on it. So what is the covenant path?
The covenant path is the covenants that we make as we get closer to God and become more like him, starting with baptism and moving on.
Okay. So is it just that simple? I mean, we've been talking about covenant path ever since President Nelson has been in as president of the church. He loves that phrase. We all love the phrase. Is it that simple? I mean, is there some other, you know, secret meaning behind that that we should know about?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so, right? It sounds like a fancy way of just saying like, hey, baptism, all the way up through getting sealed. That's the covenant path. So,
well, what if I've been baptized, but I'm still working on faith and repentance?
Then you're doing a good job, I guess.
I'm still hurting for it.
that's part of the keep the commandments covenant that you made at baptism. So you're actively walking on the path. Well done.
Indeed.
Gotcha. All right.
I think rather than the path and the word straight and narrow, they sort of give us this vision that it's linear. But rather than that, I liked the Mount Fuji talk from, I don't know, was it 2021? Elder Whiting, where it's more iterative, right? Like you're going up around in a circle to the top. So if you're working on faith and repentance, then you're climbing step by step up the mountain. So,
oh, phew. Mm-hmm.
So good job. Okay, we're gonna pause here and get Rivka back. Okay, and we are back. We have Rivka back. We are experiencing a lot of opposition for this recording. We lost it the first time. Is this the fourth time we've tried?
Restarted this? Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay.
Hopefully, I want everyone out there who's listening to pray retroactively that we'll get through this.
You know, it's all is one day to God. So
it is. So he'll hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so we're going to go back to Rivka, and let's hear your fundamental doctrine, Rivka.
I know. So right now, after that, I shouldn't read the part where he says, stay on the covenant path, your life will be easier, because that's what you feel like right now. Absolutely. Just kidding. Okay, so here's the one I'm going to read. This comes from a story from a return missionary who, after he got home, was struggling with anxiety and depression, and it sounds like he had he kind of stopped going to church and was just struggling to do some gospel living out of frustration, which is understandable and not an uncommon thing. But this is the thing that he said that I loved so much. He said, I'm still struggling to find peace, but I do have a testimony in our Savior, and that through my obedience, I can feel and find the peace I'm looking for in my heart and mind. And I loved that so much because living the gospel is a wrestle sometimes, and mortality is a struggle. And what I said earlier, when he said your life will be easier and happier and filled with joy, that is true. It is easier and happier when we have the blessings of the gospel to help us through the difficulties, but it doesn't mean there aren't struggles. And so I just loved the faith that he is showing as he says, I'm still struggling to find peace, but I have a testimony I will by doing what the Savior is asking me to do.
Awesome. So your fundamental doctrine was that sometimes we may not see those immediate changes or feel that immediate peace, but as we seek obedience and have faith, those things will come.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I love it. Well, that came from the second section, Are You on the Covenant Path?
Yeah.
Which, as Burke pointed out, began with sometimes when we make covenants, we fail to keep them. And that was one of his examples of returning to the covenant path. And he followed it up by saying, now he is doing very well. So that is a good outcome. So Burke, let's go back to you. What else from this section about being on the covenant path stood out to you?
I like a lot of stuff from this one, but I think I'm going to share this one. So he talks about the story where he and his wife were in a really kind of tough, challenging place in life and got brought into an interview with the stake president where he was called to be a bishop, and his wife, she was not on board. And even though she prayed about it, she didn't really get an answer, and they sustained him as bishop the following Sunday. And then 6 years later, when he's released, he says, my wife heard a voice while she was receiving the sacrament. So if you don't feel like you've got an answer to your prayer yet, maybe 6 years is the time frame you're looking for. But this is the answer she got. The voice whispered to her, because it was too hard for you to walk, I called him as a bishop in order to hold you and walk for you. Looking back at the past 6 years, she realized that all the many challenges that seemed to be endless had now been resolved along the way. And that just does not seem like an intuitive way for God to fix your problems, to give you more responsibility. But in this case, that calling and that responsibility allowed him to then guide and shape their lives the way they needed to be for them to find happiness. And they're just, other than going through those kind of situations in life and hearing other people talk about them, I don't know how you learn this lesson, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's the opposite of what you would have expected, right? Remove some of these burdens. But as Elder Bednar likes to point out, oftentimes he just makes the burden light rather than removes it from you. So, last time we recorded this, I don't know if I actually ever read this quote, but I remarked the following paragraph as my fundamental doctrine. We learned that when we think it is not a good time for us to receive a calling, it may be the time we need that calling the most. Whenever the Lord asks us to serve in any calling, whether it is a lighter or heavier calling, he sees our needs. He provides the strength we need and has blessings ready to be poured out upon us as we faithfully serve. So Burke, what in the world does this have to do with being on the covenant path? That was the question that began the section. And we just talked about how the covenant path was, you know, baptism up through being sealed. So it's those ordinances. What in the world does accepting a tough calling and a tough situation have to do with being on the covenant path?
Well, a covenant is a promise that you make with God. And part of the promise that we make is that we will serve in the way he asks us to serve. We have to support others. And when you're, I mean, all callings in the church are service callings in one way or another. So if you want to be on the covenant path, you are going to get asked to do work, not just in changing your own life, but also in helping change the lives of those around you.
Yeah.
Sort of that, our journey is not an individual journey. It is a journey that we share with others.
Indeed. And tying that into Rivka's discussion, you know, it took them 6 years to realize the blessings they were receiving from that service and from being on that covenant path. So sometimes you have to hold on a long time. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Aaliyah, let's go to you. Anything else from this section about are you on the covenant path that stood out to you?
Yes. Speaking of simple, clear, direct, he says, well, actually, he's quoting someone. Who's he quoting? Elder Paul V. Johnson says, when we follow God, he gives us power.
Boom. Okay, let's move on.
Wait, so along with that, because I think this is such a good, I have a good example of this that kind of ties into the story about him being called as the bishop. When a friend of mine, her husband was released as the bishop after 5 years or so, and she was bearing her testimony, as they do sometimes during that meeting where the old bishopric is released and the new bishopric is called. One of the things she said that struck me so much was how often she had been asked in that week prior, after we knew that the change was coming, if she was so glad that her husband was being released finally, right? Like, are you so happy he's being released? And she said, in some ways, yes, like, you know, I'm glad we'll have more time and stuff like that with him and our schedules get clearer. But she said, but mostly I haven't felt, it hasn't been the burden that I thought it was going to be and that I think sometimes people think it will be, because she said the whole time the Lord blessed her and her family with increase. That was the word she used. And she's, you know, lots of different types of increase, but during that time, things were increased. And so, you know, whether it was increase of time or increase of the spirit in their home or an increase of the quality of the things they did and just an increase of blessings. And I thought that was such an interesting thing that she shared that goes along with this. When we follow God, he gives us power. And for her and what happened in their home during his years of service, that power came as increase where they needed it.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that I've discussed it on the podcast before, but yeah, that was my experience when I was released. It was very hard to be released, much harder than it was to be called. And that power, that connection, it's sort of, it almost feels like it was ripped away, you know, like the rug was pulled out from under you. And that was always there very almost easily as bishop. And now it's something I have to work really hard for and don't, I have to be very intentional about and don't feel to the same degree as I did before. So
yeah,
we are blessed for sure. And it comes at, you know, there's a price you have to work mm-hmm. and be willing to give, but there's a lot that you get from it. I was sort of teasing Aaliyah by moving on so quickly because she just likes to throw out those succinct statements. Did you have anything else to add, Aaliyah?
Well, you're talking about power from callings, and I've definitely experienced that in my life, but also I would add that the power we have in our daily lives because of the covenants we keep is also not something to be underestimated. And I could notice a distinct difference. I'm sure there was a difference between, you know, 7-year-old me and 8-year-old baptized me, but I don't remember. But I was endowed much more recently, and I do know that there's a definite difference in my life and the power that I felt from God entering my life in so many different ways from before and after I was endowed and started making and keeping those covenants as well.
Yeah. And, you know, that makes me think, Aaliyah, what if Elder Choi and his wife had noticed all those blessings along the way instead of at the end of the 6 years? So what I'm hearing from you is you've noticed them after your endowment, and probably we all have them and could notice them more mm-hmm. if we open our eyes to them.
Yeah, which is tough to do when you're... It's like a fish in a fish tank doesn't know it's in water because, like, it's just all around us, you know? Yeah. It's hard to tell when we can't see the difference.
Right. So maybe this goes back to when Burke revealed that he transformed into a complete optimist by seeing things gratefully. if we're more able to see those things on a day-to-day basis, then we can recognize that power and have more joy from it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, Burke, I think we're back to you, and we're moving on to number three. How can keeping covenants with God make you happy? What stood out to you here?
Well, I think clearly the obvious answer is if you're really short, then you can be married to someone and your covenant can allow them to reach on taller shelves. And I'm bringing that up only because Rivka actually can reach stuff on taller shelves than I am, even though we are pretty much the same height. She has a better reach. And so this spoke to my soul.
There you go.
Literal interpretation of modern scripture. I like it. Did that have any metaphorical meaning you would like to expound upon?
Nope, just that I have longer arms. That's it.
I have a comment on that.
Please.
Can. So he's talking about being yoked with together through covenants. So he says that his wife is shorter than him, so she can't reach the high shelves, but he can. And he also says that she doesn't like going out in the dark, but it's not hard anymore because he goes with her. And he gives those two examples of how their relationship helps her achieve things she couldn't in the past. And speaking of clarity again, this obviously Christ's atonement is much more complicated and infinite than this, but I like to think of it as the enabling power and the redeeming power, which happens to line up with these examples. So she couldn't go out in the dark, but now she can. So that's him enabling her to do something she previously couldn't. And then him getting stuff on the shelf is the redeeming power, just doing something that she straight up cannot do just at all. Like, right. She can't reach that. That won't change, but he can reach it for her. So in our lives, our covenants with God provide us with enabling power for us to have increased strength to do what we couldn't before, and then redeems us and covers for things that we can't do at all.
Awesome. That is a really good insight. I really like it. Thank you. Anything else, Burke, on that example?
I really am just impressed that Aaliyah had so much more gospel insight into that experience than I did. So.
Your example was awesome too, right? You know. Awesome. Rivka, anything else from this last section here? How can keeping covenants with God make you happy?
I feel like at least half of this is from President Nelson. Okay, true. Well, President Nelson and President Bednar together, there's a lot of quote involved. But he, I like this quote from Elder Bednar. He says, "Making and keeping sacred covenants yokes us to and with the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, the Savior is beckoning us to rely upon and pull together with him, even though our best efforts are not equal to and cannot be compared with his. As we trust in and pull our load with him during the journey of mortality, truly his yoke is easy and his burden is light." And for me, that has always meant that if I yoke myself with him, things become easier because he is better and stronger and more capable. And so if there are things that I want to do or want to become, that are, you know, in keeping and in alignment with God's will, then my capacity to do that increases and my ability to do it is is made easier slash possible, but made easier because I yoke myself to my Savior.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. And that's part of the enabling power that Aaliyah was talking about.
It is. And it, I mean, that just by the virtue of being able to become what we hope to and want to become makes us happier.
I love it. Well, I think he had one primary invitation here, and I'm just gonna steal it since I stole the one primary fundamental doctrine. He says, basically, it's the same thing as the fundamental doctrine. My dear brothers and sisters, do you want to be happy? Stay on the covenant path. Your life will be easier, happier, and filled with joy, which Rivka already referenced as well. And I know for sure that is true for me. The more I stay on the covenant path, the easier, happier, and more joyful my life is. Aaliyah, did you have any other invitations or any comments on that invitation?
I can mention another one. It's all the same concept, but worded differently. So sure. He says, it's an Elder Bednar quote. As we trust in and pull our load with him during the journey of mortality, that's an invitation. Truly his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So back to the conversation we were having earlier.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I think Aaliyah didn't come to New England with us, right? She didn't see the ox pull that we.
Right.
She did not.
Yeah, she was on her mission. No, I did not. Yeah, when we watched General Conference together that one year, and we watched the ox pull at the Maine State Fair. It was really fun. So,
Freiburg Festival.
Oh, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
I believe it was.
Yep. Freiburg Festival.
Oh, good memory. I love it.
It was fun.
Well, Burke, do you have any other invitations or promised blessings?
I marked those exact two, and so I will just utter a hearty amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Rivka, anything else to add on the invitations?
Because I was thinking about God giving increase as a blessing when he asks us to do difficult things. I had my personal invitation that I took from this was to pray and ask Heavenly Father to show me where, to show me, help me see where the increase is that he is giving as I'm doing this, which I think is a fair thing to ask. Especially if I think for anyone too, especially if we're in a situation where we feel like what the Lord is asking of us right now is a lot, is maybe more than we feel like we can do. So that's what I'm going to do. Ask to have that ability to see his blessings and the increase that he's pouring into my life.
That's fantastic. And it's always great to listen to the spiritual promptings to personalize those invitations, right? They're sort of general, and to make them individual is what the Lord wants us to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, friends, assuming you're hearing this, your prayers worked because we finished and we got through this talk. Many attempts.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So now the next talk we're going to discuss, since we're all the way through General Conference completely, is from the March 2024 Liahona, brought to my attention by my friend Nicole, and she sent this to me, and I thought, you know what, we should talk about this. It's called Our General Conference Walk and Talk by Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and it's actually sort of a recap or written summary of his podcast episode from the Church News Podcast way back in 2021, which is where we originally got our structure for how we do the podcast. So we thought it'd be a great thing to talk about. So if you want to read ahead, that's what we're doing. And even if you don't care about reading ahead for the podcast, it will help you prepare for General Conference, I guarantee. So in the meantime, Aaliyah is going to tell you how to get a hold of us.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message or comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.